Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a regular dialogue. It's a regular dialogue, sure. Hey, what have you heard? You might call? Yeah. We're right across the hall from each other, so it's pretty regular. Multiple times a day.
John Harbaugh last week talking about the trade deadline, and we're now 26 hours away from the trade deadline. Ravens made a trade over the weekend, trading Jaire Alexander to the Eagles. So that was a fun few months. We'll always have training camp with the swords and the seatbelts and whatever that was, but it did not work, and now he's an Eagle, and they get instead of releasing him, which I thought they were going to do, they get a draft pick next year, so I guess, and they get the money off the books. So, but it was obviously a failure. The Eagles just traded for Jalen Phillips this morning from the Dolphins, trading a 3. So the Eagles have been very active. But with the trade deadline a little over 24 hours away, what do we expect from the Ravens?
Well, there certainly needs to be a sense of urgency and an internal expectation that they can exceed the very low bar they set this offseason with out-of-town additions, if you will, off-the-roster additions. Look, Jaire Alexander took him a long while and a bunch of Pro Bowl seasons to become addition by subtraction in Green Bay. He was addition by subtraction here by the fourth quarter of the first game of the year when he should have already been benched. They've dug themselves a hole here. In the standings, they've dug themselves a hole with what was supposed to be the best roster in the league. It's far from it. It's littered with holes, and it's littered with holes on defense. And look, Jaire Alexander has to be better in Philadelphia than he was here because he was a complete disaster here. And Adafe Owe is up to 4 sacks now if you're scoring
at home.
So, again, you gave up what you had left as a pass rusher when you had no pass rush to get a safety to keep you aligned. But you're treading water at best, and you're treading water from a place of untenable stature, in that you can't go through 17-18 if they think playoffs 19-20 games with this defensive roster. I don't care how many points you think you're going to get from the offense any given game. So we'll see what he can do in the next 27 hours to make up for all the days and hours and weeks and months that he wasted sitting on his hand this past offseason when he told you, I don't have a whole lot to do this year. I mean, next year I will, but we're pretty damn good for now. Oh, are you?
It's got to be in the trenches, and it's got to be D-line. It's got to be edge, and our buddy Jonas Schaefer is going to join us later in the show, IA Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Tweeted this out earlier today. Since losing Nnamdi Matabike, the Ravens' pressure rate on plays without blitzes is an NFL worst 17.2%. Over the past decade, no defense has finished a season even below 20%. They're 3% below that. So, warning signs, you're slamming the panic button. The reality is Eric DaCosta needs to make multiple moves if this team fancies its chances at making the playoffs, not winning a Super Bowl. You got to get to January before you even think about a Super Bowl or bust that we were talking about back in August.
Yeah, I don't know that anything they do is going to appease the fan base that is looking for big swings. I guess they could go try to trade for, say, a Bradley Chubb. It's got a massive contract there, but he's a pass rusher. And actually, I thought he played better against the Ravens than Phillips did. But if you want – everybody that's out there has got some warts. I would imagine – they're going, as Bone said, maybe get an offensive lineman, maybe get a run-stuffing defensive lineman. It sounds like the Commanders, after that disaster last night, are now in sell mode. They've got a couple of interior offensive linemen that probably would be interesting for the Ravens. So I think that's where they're going to – like, if they come away with a guard and they come away with a D lineman, I don't know if the needle's moved, but they're better in those areas. And I don't think the fans will be happy about it.
Well, they better add two players to their front seven if they're even remotely serious about getting through the season without having to rely on waivers. And, hey, their record might be such that waivers is their friend for a change. But if they think they're going to continue to go through games as attrition mounts and as snap counts mount and as injuries mount and as eventually the level of competition increases and you think you're going to be able to dress four D tackles or three edges, it's not – it's silly. I mean, it's not even professional grade. Like it's
they've been fortunate.
It's a joke. It's really a joke. And it's a personnel failure. And you could, you know, look, it's great. They won a couple football games. They also lost a lot of football games. They also put stuff out there on film that is so beyond the pale in terms of the ability to make simple run fits and keep things, keep quarterbacks from eviscerating them in the pocket. Like, they played games this season where the entire group of edge players produced zero pressures. Like, honestly, they should be ashamed.
I think that's exactly it, though, Jason, when you're talking about the attrition over an 18-week NFL schedule. And did the bye week come at a great time, considering where this team was at, 1-5, all of the injuries? Yes. But now you got to play 11 straight weeks. Now you are playing all of those games. And we've talked a lot about how remarkably healthy this team has been over the past couple of seasons. And we know they've already dealt with some injuries already. But inevitably, there's going to be more when you're playing 11 consecutive weeks.
It's a collision sport. Guys are going to get hurt. So, yeah, this is your last opportunity, except for, as Jason said, waivers. This is your last opportunity to add to this roster. Tomorrow at 4:00 is the deadline. So if you want to make additions, it's the time to do it. Cause yeah, the reality is somebody's going to get hurt.
But again, you have to look at it. You know, we get caught up in looking at everything through a myopic view, right? We look at it Ravens centered. Ravens are not the center of the universe, and the Ravens this year, unlike many past years, aren't in a position of strength because they aren't 6-3, right? They aren't 7-2. They're chasing, I mean, if you just look at the conference standings right now, they're chasing almost everybody in the AFC. So there's going to be other teams that can go to their owner and say, look, I know we didn't budget for this financially and otherwise, and I know it might create some issues next year when we got to extend this guy, or it might hurt this, that, and the other downstream. But right now, I think we can win a Super Bowl with this guy. That's what they're competing against, because those are the discussions going on in other places. And in the Ravens front office, they're having these discussions like, well, is it even really – how much of this is really salvageable? How much can we keep getting away from this? Like, if that's the price to add just a guy to get us through, is that even worth it? Whereas Howie Roseman isn't having those discussions.
No.
Howie Roseman is like a three. Go. Here, have it. You're going to eat some of the salary? Let's go. And it's not just Howie Roseman. Kansas City's in that mode. Buffalo's in that mode. The Rams are in that mode.
Seattle.
There are teams.
How about Pittsburgh in your division?
They'll be more motivated than these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's what if he has sticker shock in the best of times when he truly is among the elite in terms of, hey, we might be a player away. Like, he often didn't want to pay the freight then. He's going to outbid people who really are in F them picks mode? I have a hard time thinking. But if he's not, they're not going anywhere.
I'm with you, but he has to make a move. You have 12 draft picks with compensatory picks in there. You freed up salary trading Owe, trading Jaire Alexander. You could at least get back to that point, the $8 million that you saved or whatever the heck it is. Like, you've made some moves to free up some spots, to get some draft capital. Like, now's the time to use it. I'm not saying go crazy. I'm not expecting him to go crazy, but we better see a move or two.
By the way, we are live at CFG Arena. We're sitting courtside as Maryland opens their season tonight against Coppin. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan.
And Towson against
Loyola. I was getting to that. 5:30 pregame, 6:30.
Keep it on your toes.
Then following that is the Towson Loyola game at 9:00. But yeah, we have a doubleheader of basketball. Come on out. You can go see some Division I basketball here. Doubleheader at the arena, CFG. We will be here. Guest-wise on the show today, coming up at 2:30, the man himself. It is basketball season. You know how you know it's basketball season? Because Jimmy Sunshine himself, Jimmy Patsos, will join us at 2:30. We'll talk Terps with him at 2:30, 3 o'clock. Craig Albernaz meeting with the media tomorrow. What is Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun? Think of that hire. We'll ask him at 3 o'clock. Plus, officially, Tyler O'Neill opted into his deal for the next 2 years after the dreadful season he had.
That's your guy after Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
That's your guy.
Jason's new favorite player.
It's my batting practice buddy. Yeah. I don't want him on my roster.
Yeah. Jonas Schaefer, 4 o'clock, Baltimore banner. How many moves does he think the Ravens will make? Will they make a move before tomorrow at 4 o'clock? We'll ask him at 4. And we'll talk everything Ravens and maybe a little Commanders with our buddy Cordell Woodland at 5.
Yeah. Look, we've kind of got the whole landscape of Baltimore sports here. We got college hoops starting. We got, unfortunately, the Terps football program coming off of another.
Not same old Terps.
It's worse. Obviously, tomorrow, big day in Birdland, and we're starting to get to, now that the World Series is over, more transactional part of the baseball season. Obviously, trade deadline just more than 24 hours away. We got a lot to cover.
Coming up next, though, we look back at the division and a very impressive win for the Steelers, a very disastrous loss for the Bengals. It's Northern Exposure next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes in this business. It's nothing dramatic, you know, it's really not. And that's why we respect it so much. Couple plays here and there that might have been different last week. We don't give up the 59-yard ball, the 33-yard ball. We don't let them convert on 4th-and-1 in the flat, for example, in the third quarter. That's football at this level. It's a limited number of plays or sequences that can really change the trajectory of an outcome. We're still the same group that stunk it up last week. That's football.
Mike Tomlin, after the Steelers beat the Colts 27-20, they squashed some grapes yesterday. And, Jason, a funny thing happened on the way to what I thought was going to be the way that game was going to go. The Colts were up 7-0, and they're driving.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, this could be 14-0 in a minute, and then this game goes sideways. And I think it was Highsmith stripped Daniel
Watt,
Jones.
Watt.
Midfield.
Okay. Yeah, Watt strips him. It was the first of 6 turnovers in the game as Daniel Jones, they forced him into the Giants, Daniel Jones. And the Steelers took a stranglehold of that football game, ended up winning 27-20.
Weird game. The Colts did whatever they wanted the first couple drives. Looked like they were going to have another long quarter-eating scoring drive. Took them a bunch of plays just to move like 30 yards. Then, of course, when you have that volume of plays against a defense like that, that is certainly they have a knack for the timely forcing the timely mistake. You have that turnover, then you have a punt where the returner falls down and hands
him
the ball in the red zone, and then it just spiraled from there. The amazing thing to me about this game, though, is 6 turnovers, 5 sacks from the Colts, still only lose by 1 score. The Pittsburgh Steelers had 225 total yards of offense, 3.7 yards per play.
Yeah.
At home, being handed gift after gift after gift after gift. 3.7 yards per play.
But it was similar, not in the fact I know the Patriots, they were going in for multiple of their turnovers, but it was very similar to that football game where you look at the box score and the total yards, and they're almost doubling them up. But when you turn the ball over 5 times like the Patriots did, 6 times like the Colts, you're not winning that football game. You just aren't. Yeah. I don't care how many yards you get. When you give the ball away that much, and this Steelers defense, and we've been hammering them, and rightfully so, but that has been their calling card so far. They can take the ball away.
Jason, T.J. Watt looked like T.J. Watt for the first time in a while.
And Daniel Jones. I mean, now look, he still did a lot of good things, but you cannot turn the ball over like he did. Look, that's one that everybody had in the loss column for the Steelers.
Oh, yes.
And, Ken said all last week, and you were right, hey, this is the game that the Steelers win.
Yeah, this is – I can't tell you
can't
how.
Explain it, but they did. Yeah,
throughout history, this is the way. This is the game Mike Tomlin figures out a way to win. So the Steelers win 27-20. And let's now go to Cincinnati.
On to Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Frankie the Wonder Pup says, on to Cincinnati.
Frankie Wonder Pup sitting up here in press row with us.
Just give me lickies.
Yeah. So Cincinnati stole victory from the jaws of defeat and then decided to give it back, Bellway Ben.
Williams slings it. Williams, Loveland, bangs off his man. He's going to score.
Home.
Colston Loveland in a jaw dropper. 58 yards on the catch and run from the rookie.
So this game was incredible for many reasons. Joe Flacco threw for over 400 yards in this game. The Bengals recovered an onside kick because the Bears player decided to block a guy instead of going for the ball and hit him in the foot. The Bengals then go down and score again. Yeah. And the Bears get the ball back with 47 seconds left, and they just need a field goal. And even if Loveland gets tackled, there's 20 seconds left. They'll have time to get on the ball, snap it, but there's no guarantee he's going to hit the field goal.
Sure.
But Loveland bounced off Geno Stone and another guy and then beat everybody to the end zone.
Ridiculous tackling. Yeah. I mean, tackling with no arms. The Bengals' defense is absolutely horrible. And I did find it interesting that on the day that Anarumo plays a team from the division and holds them to 225 yards, the Bengals give up 225 yards in the fourth quarter. It's totally believable if you pay attention to the Bengals. But yeah, that's it. 3-6. That's game 7.
They're worse than they were a year ago on defense.
Oh, they're worse. They're considerably worse. Yeah. I mean, just think about how they had the Jets beat and they had these guys beat. I mean, you're sitting there realistically above 500 and thinking Burrow's maybe 3-4 weeks away, and that's out the door. I told you guys last week I was hearing Henderson's being traded. Now everybody's reporting Henderson's being traded. I think Henderson will be traded. And I think they will trade two or three more other guys. So they're out of it. The Browns are out of it. We can officially call this a two-team race.
Yes.
It's still a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah.
Just a stunning result in that game. When the Bengals scored that go-ahead touchdown with less than a minute ago, I was flipping all around, and then I'm watching a game and had the cut in and it was like, oh, Bears score. I'm like, what is happening right now? They almost ran for 300 yards in that football game. Caleb Williams caught multiple passes, like Joe throwing for 470.
Mononga guy.
And now, and you'd expect this to happen, you got Chase Brown, like, come on, man, get one bleeping stop for us. Jamar Chase trying not to say too much. Like, that locker room is splintered.
Jason.
Splintered.
As someone who spent a lot of time in locker rooms, and supposedly from the guys that cover the team, the defensive players were basically blowing off the media after the game.
Yeah.
That locker room, it ain't good.
Well, look, I faded them in the offseason in part because I thought the defense would be just as bad because I didn't think Henderson would make it through more than half the season because if the defense is that bad with him, why the hell are we and the season's off? Now, I didn't know Burrow would get hurt like he did, but even with how's Burrow going to do more than Flacco did?
No,
what was he going to do these last two games, the last three games that Flacco didn't do? So that's not even the problem. There's no leadership there. They benched Logan Wilson, who was their leader. Hendrickson didn't want to be there. They paid him enough to stick around, but he's never really been there emotionally. Their draft picks in recent years have sucked, so they can't even play, let alone lead. There's no infrastructure. I'm not an Al Golden guy. I don't know why people thought Al Golden was better than Anarumo. Anarumo was the scapegoat for a terrible defensive roster and a terrible defensive culture. Because their best player's been trying to get out for years, and instead of just doing it and acknowledging it and moving on, they kept trying to do enough to keep him around. But it's so over. Forget about it. And I just wonder how many people are traded now.
Yeah, like Logan Wilson's got to be gone, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I like I mean, are they trying to trade offensive linemen too? Like, I don't know. Like, are they trying to?
Well, here's the question: will Mike Brown okay that? Because you know how he is.
If they're trading Hendrickson, that's from him. And if they're trading Hendrickson, then why not just reboot?
Yeah.
The real question becomes: is Duke Tobin still the de facto GM? Is Zach Taylor still the head coach? There's no way Golden's coming back, and Golden might not make it through the season. How can Golden make it through the season?
Can't.
It's bad. By the way, just a quick note on Cleveland. Stefanski is seeding play calling again, and Dylan Gabriel is still his starting quarterback.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be back next year.
It's fun times around the division. Coming up next, fun times here at CFG Arena as we have a doubleheader of basketball tonight. Towson Loyola, the late game. But at 5:30, you get pregame coverage. 6:30 tip, Maryland and Coppin State. It's the official opener live at CFG. And Jimmy Sunshine himself, Jimmy Patsos.
And Frankie the Wonder Pup.
Yeah, I don't know what Frankie's going to have to say.
He's got a lot to say.
But Jimmy can
speak
for both
of them. He's a brain to the operation.
We'll talk a lot with Jimmy next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year on The Fan. We are live at CFG Bank Arena, where later this evening, Maryland will open their basketball season at 6:30, pregame 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. They take on Coppin State, followed by Loyola at Towson, live here at CFG. So you get a doubleheader of basketball, which makes it a perfect time to bring back our friend, IA Hall of Famer, Jimmy Sunshine himself. Jimmy Patsos joins us courtside here at CFG. And Jimmy, college basketball is back.
Much to our happiness, we're here. Towson, best team in the area the last few years. Loyola, Josh Schleffler, and them, really glad they're coming down to play. Josh, yeah. New coach, second year coach, this thing's starting. And then you got to play in Baltimore. But when Maryland comes here, it's special. Buzz Williams, look, last year, Sweet 16, great. And by the way, I've been using your guy, Greg Talbot and Jerry's. Yeah. I use your Chuck Bucks. I use your sponsors. I do what I'm told.
Yes.
And I've had a great offseason. So now I'm back, happy.
It works for us.
And ready to talk about.
This show, actually, we really don't have many or sponsors.
I have none.
We have some.
Yeah. You have some. Yeah, Greg Talbot, that tax guy, does a great job. Anyways, so we're here. And I'm all happy driving down here with Frank. And I'm like, we played down here. We played Billy Tubbs the first time. Gary, put in a 1-3-1.
Yeah.
We beat them.
Yeah.
We beat Iowa. We lost in a place you couldn't get in here. The whole cast of Homicide was
here. I think Billy Tubbs played down here in a tournament game, too. I think Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
play.
State was here with
Big
Country.
But anyways, we played Oklahoma and beat him. We lost to Calipari. Joe Smith, who I saw this weekend, he was at a homecoming. Joe Smith, Steve Francis. Couldn't get in here. Canby and Calipari. We beat Iowa. We beat Princeton. And then we stopped playing there for a while. And now they're coming back. The arena looks good. You know, it's going to be an interesting Monday night. I know Monday's not the easiest night. And you're playing Coppin State, which isn't, you know, UMass and Canby or Oklahoma. But I think that they should play here. I think it's fun. But
you guys had some Baltimore guys on that team, too.
Yeah, they had Dante Bright on the team. Dana Dinger was from New York. Two offense. They threw it up to go get it.
Yeah.
And then they were number two in the country. They were the number two seed when we beat them.
Mario
hit some shots. Yeah, Joe had like 30. Let's not kid ourselves.
But Mario hit some shots.
Mario hit a three. Yeah. Joe had 35 and 20. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was great to see Joe. Gary Williams rolled out the football game homecoming. Buzz had a big recruit. The Buzz Williams era starts. Give him support. Obviously, we're going to see everyone on Friday against Georgetown. But I just want to talk about how, look, Towson could make the run to the NCAA, and if they get in there, watch out. He lost in the semis last year, but he came in first. And I want to ask Jason about this.
Delaware's gone. We're glad about that.
Yeah.
Because
even when
we had a better team than Delaware, Delaware would knock us out in the conference
Jason
tournament.
Jason said that, not me, but I'll stop him when he's wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
But look, it's a one-and-done tournament. But Scary's done great. 20-win seasons, 4,000 and 5,000 people at the games. They play a really competitive schedule. They're going right from here to Houston to play Calvin Sampson.
Plus 350. Wow. Plus 350 to win the conference regular season. UNC.
Stay off those
boards.
As a monumental employee, he can't talk gambling.
That's only the third best odds.
Is it?
They
Who's
are
the
number
best?
One in the coaches poll. They had Charleston and Wilmington ahead of them.
That's the problem. He always says, hey, look, same thing. In Maryland, we had Duke and Carolina. And it's whenever there's like two teams that are always just regularly better or picked ahead of you, it's tough to climb, but Scary's right there, and you got Tyler Tejada to come back, and Williamson went to good counsel, and Loyola Josh has a couple kids from Bel Air. Speed, I really like, who's from Phoenix, but they got Stemke, and they got Commanders playing tonight. Their Bel Air kids went to John Carroll. Towson's got, of course, Caleb, big guy who went to Maria Goretti before it closed, and Jack's back home, Jack D from Wright State, to go with Tejada and Williamson. And then the Terps, you know, I know the UMBC game, it was an exhibition. They'll win tonight. Payne's got to do all the dirty work. The 6'9 guy, 26 versus UMBC. I don't know if Watts plays tonight. Who is Slick Watts' grandson?
Yes.
Rice, the transfer from Indiana. But Darius Adams and Turkin are my two favorites. Turkin hit the shot against UMBC to kind of seal the win. And Adams is a McDonald's All-American from New Jersey who in a year. If we can wait one more year for this team of Buzz to get healthy, to play together and everything, they're like a Sweet 16 team. The question is this year, can they make it? Can they get off the bubble and make it?
That's where I was going, Jimmy, because he came into a tough circumstance where the Kevin Willard situation happened. Maryland didn't even have an AD when Buzz ended up coming in. Brand new team and much different from last year where they had one of the easiest non-conference schedules in basketball. Buzz is playing a non-conference schedule, so
he's
going to be
Willard's
tested
schedule.
Early.
A lot of things that we wanted in Maryland basketball we got. Coach named Williams.
Yeah.
A guy who's been at one at Marquette. By the way, he's in New Orleans, so he grinded his way. Gary Williams went to American U. Buzz went to New Orleans. Gary Williams, Big East, BC, Ohio State, Big Ten, to Maryland. Buzz has been Marquette. Of course, he went Virginia Tech, where I was with him when they went to they had Duke beat, and they went to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, or whatever. They had him beat. It was out of bounds play that didn't go. And then, you know, what he did at Texas A&M. We don't know as much about Texas A&M because the SEC is such a football place and all that. But he won at Texas A&M. He brought a couple players with him. He's playing the UNLVs. He's playing Gonzaga. He's playing Georgetown. He's doing what he's supposed to do to build the program. He's an early morning guy. He was with Kevin Plank this morning working out with the team over at 5:30 a.m. Mm. I mean, Plank has the mornings. I do more of the evenings.
Yes.
Everybody has
division
their
of labor. Division of labor.
Thank you. I love you, Jason.
You're a nice
That's
guy.
Why Jason's a clash guy. Right, yeah. Anyways. Just give Buzz a little time. Let him get his own people in here. And, Tim, I think what you said is valid. The thing you were talking about, Tim was talking about, was he missed a part of the portal.
Yeah.
He didn't get the job quite fast enough because, you know, Willard had left a little later. Players are moving.
A
couple guys didn't stay. Did they have – and, then, you know, and it's – this is a five-year project to get back to the Final Four. And I think he's the guy that can do it because he's proven he can win it. Texas A&M, Virginia Tech aren't the easiest jobs. Marquette is a great basketball job.
Yeah.
And he won there and had Jimmy Butler. So here we go. It starts tonight in Baltimore. Come on down. The Loyola Towson thing, we're starting that rivalry. We want that to keep going, the Battle of York Road. Next year there could be a bigger team here playing Maryland. I know people are working on that for the Hall of Fame. But
At
the end of the day, it's basketball season.
What do you think of the Big Ten in general? Is it just how difficult is it to even size this up? Because we're literally rebooting in a lot of these campuses.
Jason and I go way back on the Blue Ribbon days. We used to get the Blue Ribbon, which had every detailed player, but it was easy to write because half of the kids were coming back. Yeah. Now they can barely get it out in time because they're trying to figure out too. John Rothstein's a great guy. He goes to practices and doesn't know half the roster. Don't listen to, don't believe his lies. No, I love John. He's my buddy. None of us do, Jason. Yeah. I don't know. Pearl's gone. That's going to hurt Auburn. How's the Big Ten? In other words, that's like an SEC thing.
Yeah.
So you don't know that, and I say this because I'm under them. We have, you know, we had Auburn, we have South Carolina, we have Maryland, we have Seton Hall, we have Wisconsin, Northwestern, Utah was out there. But then you go into the league, Big Ten. Look, Wisconsin's going to be very good. Who can retain players, and then which transfers fit in? There's no formula yet. It's only year three to figure out which transfers. I know Izzo's going to be good.
Yeah.
I know Dusty at Michigan's going to be good.
Yeah.
Purdue's picked high, but I don't see it as high as
I think. Number one preseason.
I'm surprised by that.
I think UCLA and USC are both improved due to rosters, money, and have you been to Southern Cal lately? It's a good place to visit in the spring.
A lot of people are high on UCLA. Like, maybe he's figured out that the travel is what it is, and you can't fight City Hall on everything, and looks like a pretty good roster.
He worked for Huggins, Mick Cronin. Huggins, when he went to the Big 12, the first thing Bob Huggins said, A, they got to come here. Let's go over A again. They got to come here. Let's go over A one more time, and there's probably some explicitives in
there. Yeah.
They're coming to Morgantown. Okay, that's phase one of this. Two, we're going there. Can we split going theirs? So, in other words, that's how you win. They, like West Virginia, you're going to feel bad for us? No. It's a 2.5-hour ride to Kansas, Texas, wherever you have to go back then. You know, the Big 12, it's all split up, but back then it still was Baylor. It still was Texas Tech. Okay, so I'll say it again. If you're Mick Cronin, they got to come here. By the way, it's not an easy trip because Musselman has reloaded, including Rice.
Yeah.
Who's paid very well.
Yeah.
You could not have kept Rice here in Maryland, where the Buzz got the job early. The payrolls. There's 12 to $15 million payrolls. There's 8 to $10 million payrolls, and there's 4 to $8 million. We're in the middle group.
Yeah.
And then those guys, the USC's in the high group. You know, and Jason and I were talking about this off the air. About Indiana football and stuff. It did, and Ken, too. Tim, you were setting up because Tim does all the work here.
Yeah.
Tim's the heavy
Thank
lifter.
You.
Look, if it takes one or two guys to make your college team. Miami was ahead of this when Larrañaga was there. They had three guys that didn't buy a major league team that wanted to buy the baseball
team.
Oh, yeah, you
told us about this.
Well, they just sit there and they say, well, for $1 million each, we can own a college team. Yeah. Now, they don't own the team, but in theory, they sort of, something's happening in Indiana football.
Yeah.
I know he's a good coach in Indiana. He's not that good a coach.
Right.
In other words, if anybody's listening, Frankie the Wonderful.
Whoa.
If anyone's listening, we are going through some technical difficulties here. Hey, it's going to cost you some money, but that doesn't guarantee you winning. Then you have to coach, and then you got to deal with your schedule. UCLA and USC, I think Jason makes a great point. They've learned. Maryland learned last year when they went to Oregon and Washington. You just get the speed. Now you want the split because the season was over, but it wasn't over.
Right.
Then what do you do at home? How's your talent? Then who can you keep? You know, next year, Darius Adams is going to be great. He's just a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, they have a guy sitting out from Don Bosco from Crown Point, Illinois, who I know is very good. Yeah. He's just going to sit out this year, Buzz is. Buzz has a guy that sat out last year in Durkin who was at – he had the courage to redshirt a guy. In other words, it takes courage to redshirt guys nowadays. Still pay them.
Right, because you might be just developing for the next guy.
Yeah.
That's so, like, all these things come into play. And remember, this is what, year four, Jason, of this whole thing?
Yeah.
Of all this stuff that's going on. And we all wish we'd go back to the old way. It's not going back to the old way.
No, it's over.
It's over. So it's an adjustment, scheduling, playing, who's good, who can you retain, who's a role player, who's happy making a couple hundred thousand, who wants more money, Jason, to be unhappy.
I'd be happy making a couple hundred
thousand. Well, we all would, but that's not.
Hey.
My point is some guys are taking more money. You know what's going on in college basketball.
Bone would be happy making a couple thousand.
Yeah, geez.
Bone's making
say it all the time.
Hey, take 100
10 grand, man. Ken he'd do a lot of things.
He'd do
disgusting things.
Let me ask Jason my theory guy this. When does it start to seep in that a little more money doesn't guarantee happiness to college players?
I probably Whereas already has.
Well, don't you think it has? I mean, it probably has.
Because they want more.
No, I'm saying you're going to get a little more. Look at Tejada. Let's talk about Tejada. This is the elephant in the room. He could have gone anywhere in the country for double
People
the money.
People shocked he stayed here.
But he loves Taos and stayed here. He's Teaneck, New Jersey. He's one that can watch him play. In other words, is that going to start to be a trend? I hope it is, but I don't know. I also do GW's games in the A-10. They had three kids stay. Well, two of them had transferred and said I was miserable there. I'm happy here. I'm not saying they're going to take a lot less, but do they take a little less? Do you think that starts winning, Jason? The hometown discount, the happiness discount, or no?
Girlfriend on campus?
Yeah, that helps.
Might help
that
a helps. Bit.
That
she
helps.
She doesn't want to transfer. Her major's really good at this school, wouldn't be so great at that school. I don't know.
Hey, if you're looking for something to do tonight, go to HOFseries.com or go to Ticketmaster. You can get tickets for tonight. Before we let you go, Jimmy.
Frankie
quickly.
The Wonder Pup will be taking pictures tonight. I
think.
His guy,
he
will pose for pictures.
He's not signing, though.
Yeah.
No signing.
Not signing.
Any early thoughts on the Wizards, Jimmy?
They're much better. Don't be fooled by the record. The energy's better. Keyshawn George is
he's a player.
He's a real pro.
Keyshawn, he can light it up.
Great
look,
hair.
George and Sarr have shown they're going to be real pros. So they won last year's draft. Trey Johnson can. I think Bub's going to be a very solid pro, and he's fine. He's just adjusting to playing the point, which he really isn't. But they're still young. They're just young. Can we get to next year? McCollum's been a good influence. Middleton's good. But Trey Johnson's another win for him. Now, can Will Riley, who was in Illinois.
Yeah, Phelps.
Once again, Will Riley, who turned down a lot of money. He could have made the same money in Illinois as he did in the NBA.
Yeah.
But he wanted the new journey. They are good. Will the results be that much different, Jason? I don't know.
Just give up 119 tonight. That's all I need short term.
See,
Just let the Knicks hang. Just let the Knicks hang 119 on it tonight. All I need out of them.
Sar and George are legit, and Bub and Trey Johnson can play in that league, so that's four real players you have that are under the age of 21.
Defense is overrated, Jimmy. That's all I got to say.
I love basketball season for many reasons.
The Sixers.
Yeah, 5-1, baby. And they're getting George and McCain back this week.
Is that good or bad? BJ Edgecombe's good.
Yeah, they need George to D up on the threes because they don't have anybody guard small forwards. So
it's going
to
be a fun year at College Park. We have lots of good stuff going on. Go see Buzz. Give him time. And I'm telling you, the team will be a lot better in January and February. But next year, Buzz is putting his stamp on this program. Just everybody understand he's doing every day what it takes. It's just going to take a little while.
Just a little patience.
Every day he writes the book.
Guns and Roses.
Yeah. Jimmy Sunshine, you're the best. We will come back. We'll continue talking Maryland, but it's the football side. What the heck happened?
Frankie.
What the heck happened at College Park on Saturday? Beltway Ben was there. We discuss next.
Yeah, we say this every week, Johnny. And one, let me give credit to Kurt in Indiana. Good team. We had opportunities like you talked about early. The interception with Jamari, sack, TFL to force the punt. And we have to figure out how to turn those plays opportunities into touchdowns against a team like this. It's important to come away with those scores. And you know, I like the way we came out in the second half with, you know, answering there with a TD drive. But then really for the first time all season, you know, to have five turnovers and then give up 400 yards rushing, which a lot of it can be credited to just the ineffectiveness we've been on the offensive side of the ball.
So that's Mike Locksley, not the same old Maryland. It was fun for a little bit. They got a pick in the beginning. All guy almost ran it back, but stopped, and then they had to settle for three. They were only down 23 at the half, 22-3, and then the floodgates open, turnovers, final was 55-10. Ugly. Cignetti likes to run it up on teams. We've seen that. He does not take his foot off the gas. And 4-0 was fun about 5 minutes ago. Now they're 4-4.
Well, you look at their record under Locksley after Halloween. You look at their record at home against anybody other than non-conference teams. You look at them when, and look, this is an extreme example. Indiana's number two in the country for good reason. But you look at what happens when they face ranked teams. It was a big ask for these guys. And you look at Locksley off a bye. I mean, this had a lot of things sort of woven into the fabric that would make you believe it was not going to be a fun day for the Maryland football program. And it wasn't. You know, Rocco was texting me in the second quarter from the student section, said the Fire Locksley chants were in full force already. You just think back to how heady things felt like at halftime of the Washington game, which is not that far ago. What is that, 5 weeks ago? A month ago? And to be where they are now, I think everybody's feeling the heat. Everybody's understanding the gravity of the situation. And the new AD is going to be pulled into some heavy, serious macro-level discussions about one of their two biggest moneymakers in the next month if things don't improve here drastically. And I don't think they're going to improve drastically because Maryland doesn't win a lot of football games in November and December
in October.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever beaten a ranked opponent, Locksley, and they put the stat up during the game. September, he's great. After September, no bueno. What is the message they're sending? Let me just give you a hypothetical. When you see schools around the country firing their coaches in better situations, and it's not good, like Penn State was beating Oregon in overtime of a game where it was going to be a signature win. They lose 2 weeks later. They fire James Franklin. Auburn fired their coach this weekend. You got coaches all over the country getting fired. If you keep Mike Locksley and they say they win one more game the rest of this year, what message are you sending?
it's rough, and we all love Locks, but coming out after losing by 45 points and saying that it's not the same old Maryland.
He needs to change that brand real quick. That branding exercises isn't working.
It's not a good message.
You can't say it after choking away fourth quarter leads to teams you should have beat, right? And then say it again when you get destroyed by a team you're not supposed to. No, like this is – like if I'm the AD, I'm going to him and saying, that's over. Like, don't say it again. Like, stop.
Especially after a blowout, because it's one thing to choke away the fourth quarter like we've seen, but okay, they're young. But – coming off a bye, homecoming, the place is sold out, and you get ran out of the gym after the first, well, especially in the second half, but after the first three drives where it looked like there was some promise that they'd keep it close, you can't be saying that after the game.
Maryland is at Rutgers Saturday. I guess that's a winnable game. You hope it's a winnable game, but you can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. Orioles will be introducing Craig Albernaz to the media tomorrow. There is some Orioles news. Tyler O'Neill option was picked up by O'Neill, so he's here for two more years. Jorge Mateo option declined, so we do have some Orioles news. We'll talk Orioles with our buddy, Jacob Calvin-Meyer. He's an IA Hall of Famer, and he joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.